Well, hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible question or something you'd like us to discuss or discuss with you, give us a call right now. We want to hear about it at 844-322-2742. That's the number that's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. We want to hear from you because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin.
Yes, indeed.
So we've been talking about forgiveness all month, and we just pray that our listeners, that you've been struggling, that through this month you've come to a point and realized that Christ has taken away your sins, and as a result, you're living as a blessed person. And that's exactly what the Lord has done, is blessed us in Christ Jesus with this gift of forgiveness. So the moment you receive Christ, you received forgiveness of sins. You received one of the heavenly blessings that God has bestowed upon us, has lavishly poured out on us in grace. But there's even better news. This verse is Romans 4, 7, and 8. It's a quote from Psalm 32, 1 and 2. It's David writing after he recognizes that God has done something for him as regards to his sin. And he writes that those sins were covered. But in this new covenant, we have an even a better deal. Jesus has taken away our sins once and for all. And so our blessing is even more, isn't it, guys?
Yeah, you think about how we've expressed this forgiveness. You know, you'll hear people say, my sins are under the blood. Don't you worry, they're under the blood. You should be comforted by that. But, you know, I always joke, what if one creeps out the side? You know, you got that possibility that the covering is not adequate. I mean, the Old Testament, that's what they had. The Day of Atonement was sort of a covering. It was a temporary fix while they were looking forward to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So we have that sacrifice, the once for all, the takeaway. And that was John the Baptist's big declaration, you know, here's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And, you know, the Apostle John is so excited about this because it's a big deal. He says that Jesus is the propitiation, not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. So again, there are a few differences here. I mean, it's not a covering. It's a takeaway. It's not a Day of Atonement that they had to do every year. For us, it's a once for all. We're totally forgiven, totally cleansed. And that is part of the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. And if the Bible says we've already been blessed with every spiritual blessing, which includes forgiveness, well, then that means we're already forgiven of all of our sins, past, present, and future. God's not forgiving us in installments. He's not, coming down out of heaven to give us forgiveness in portions. The beautiful message of the gospel is that he has given us our forgiveness once for all. We don't need any more. We are as forgiven today as we will ever be.
Now, just lived as blessed people. I guess, the motivation of sharing this verse today. We want you to live as a blessed person because that's exactly what you are in Christ Jesus. And you're blessed because your sins have been taken away once and for all, and you stand before God as a forgiven person. And I think this is the one thing that stymies people more than anything else as far as their growth in Christ is concerned, is this lack of knowing, this lack of fully believing, this lack of resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ, always thinking that there's something more to do, there's something that you have to add to the finished work of Christ Jesus. But that was a masterpiece, folks, what Christ accomplished for us on the cross, and we can't add to the Master's work. So we simply have to rest in the fact that what Jesus did was enough. It was sufficient. And so let's don't question that anymore. Let's live as blessed people, or as the blessed people we are in Christ Jesus.
Absolutely. That's basic gospel, friends. Glad you're with us today. You know, we're at the end of the month of May, and as we've noted, next month we reach the end of yet another fiscal year. Our hope and our prayer is to surpass our budget needs so that we can take this message that you hear every day to others who need to know the freeing message of the gospel, the new covenant. You know, many of you help on a continuing basis, and for you we give thanks to God and to you. But we need others to step up and help us get this message out to the untold numbers who need to hear. Please click donate at basicgospel.net or call 844-322-2742 anytime, day or night, with your gift. Remember, too, that if you make your gift by midnight tonight, we'll send you our 2-CD set called It Is Finished. But this offer does end at midnight tonight, so don't miss it. Make your gift at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. Well, the lines are open at that same number, 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go down to Temple, Texas, and talk to Daron. Hi, Daron.
Hey, guys. Bob, I want to ask you something, and it's something that just doesn't make sense to me. It's not really selling to me, because I'm hearing that, you know, some people might say there's different levels of heaven, and that on the day of judgment, like, I guess when, you know, it's a new heaven, a new earth, that there will be some people, you know, near to God, near to Jesus, or being in lower regions of heaven or something like that. But that doesn't sit right for me, because the scripture says we are already seated in the heavenly places with him right now beside him, and that we're all one in Christ Jesus, all the same. So I just don't see God having people that's close to him, and then having people that's really not close to him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Daron. It's a great question, and certainly there's a lot of folks that teach that there's different levels, and based on the things that you've done here on earth, you're going to take up either a higher or lower position in the heavenlies when we
that's
go to be with
to
the
say.
Lord.
Yeah.
And I don't think the scripture teaches that. How about Andrew, Richard,
yeah,
what are
no,
your thoughts on
not
this?
Not at all. I mean, this is brought to you by people who just can't let go of behaviorism. You know, they figure, okay, God saved all these people, but when we get there, then God's going to look at me and he's going to say, wow, Richard, you did more than anybody else. You get the biggest house here. And that's just
right.
Stupid. I mean, it really is bad theology. It puts mm-hmm. us in the position of demanding of God rather than responding to him. It puts God in the position of having to make these judgment calls about who did better and who did best. And, oh, well, I'm sorry, the rest of you down here are going to have to live out in the trees somewhere. That just isn't God, right?
Yeah.
It just, nothing about that rings true.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All of us are just going to throw our crowns down at his feet, fall at his feet, and say, thank you, Jesus. Yeah. That's all that's going to happen.
2 Corinthians 12, you know, talks about the third heaven. And I think, Daron, that that's where people have really twisted things and gotten the wrong idea. You know, Paul is talking here not about the heavens meaning the sky, and he's not talking about the heavens meaning where the stars are in outer space, but he's talking about the spiritual heaven. So there's only one spiritual heaven. But sometimes people will take 2 Corinthians 12, where Paul speaks of a third heaven, and really twist the meaning of that. Paul just simply meant that there's a spiritual heaven that he had a revelation about, and you know, that's all there is to that. So you think about your union with Christ. I mean, we're one with Jesus. We're one with Jesus right now. We're one spirit with the Lord when we get to heaven. As you already mentioned, Daron, we're raised and seated right next to God. That's not true of some Christians. It's true for all Christians. You look at the parable of the vineyard workers. Some of them got started with an hour left in the day. Others were working all day long. They all got paid the same. So, you know, Richard's talking about crowns, and you know, the parable there seems to say, wow, we all get paid the same. So it's not grace, 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 and then suddenly when you hit the gates of heaven, it's all works. God's not going to change the gospel on us. And, you know, when it comes to reward, I don't know. I mean, we see the 24 elders casting crowns at Jesus' feet, so it seems to be all about Jesus. And then Paul says everything else is dung next to knowing Christ. So I have a hard time believing it's Christ plus jewelry, or it's Christ plus square footage, or, you know, it's Christ plus mansions, a bunch of crowns, mansions stacked, you know, crowns stacked on your head, or mansions. And, you know, my joke is that people are afraid, oh, I'm going to miss out on Beverly Heavens, and I'm going to be stuck in one-story purgatory across the tracks and all that business. The reality is, you know, Christ is our reward, and that reward with him, life with him, begins right now, and that's beautiful.
This is no game of spiritual monopoly.
That's right. Other point on this, Daron, is that we're all heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. There's an eternal inheritance that we're all partakers of, that we all are recipients of, simply because of God's grace. That this life that we have, this forgiveness that we have, this righteousness that we have, is they're all gifts of grace from God to us, given to us in Christ Jesus. So we stand before him as equals, as his children. Jesus is our elder brother who's not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters in Christ. Mm-hmm. And that's how we're going to be eternally. And boy, that's great news.
Indeed it is.
Right. And I thank y'all for that explanation, because when I heard that, it sparked fear in me, thinking that, I better get out and start producing fruits and works in me so I can get some crowns so I can be near Jesus. You know, that's ridiculous thinking. You know, that's basically just religion. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
Jesus is the one that does the work in through you. You can't do anything without Jesus Christ. So, if it is spiritual works that he produced in me, then he gets the glory, not me. I'll throw my crowns to him because he's the one that done it and through me. So, I have nothing to worry about.
You know, Daron, I mean, if we're not careful, those theologies, maybe people don't realize it, maybe they do, but those theologies kind of just foster an attitude of, you know, I'm doing this for materialism. I'm doing this for a heavenly materialism. It's not earthy. I'm told, I shouldn't love riches. Oh, I shouldn't, you know, I shouldn't love the world and I shouldn't love riches. But boy, I better make sure I got a lot of jewelry when I get to heaven. And that sort of nonsense is really a materialism with a Jesus stamp on it. I mean, why live uprightly? There's lots of reasons for us to live uprightly, guys. And we got the new heart. We got Christ living in us. We've got a new nature. We've got all kinds of benefit from life walking after God's Spirit. So there's so much joy and peace and benefit in the Christian life that you don't have to dangle a carrot in front of me to get me to behave if I've got Christ living in me. So, you know, that's the real motivation for the Christian life. Thanks, Daron.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Thanks, y'all.
Great to hear from you as always, friend. It is Basic Gospel. Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and me. We're glad you're here today, everybody. And, you know, abortion is a huge issue today. And an equally heart-wrenching issue coming out of that is the condemnation that women who have had an abortion receive many times from from surprising sources. That was the issue. That was the call, the reason for a call from Dawn overnight. Let's listen to that call right now.
Yes. Hi, my name is Dawn. And my question or concern is abortion. Women have had them, you know, I've had them, been saved since then, received Jesus as my Savior. But I hear the harping, as I'll put it, on the radio, on other stations, about how evil women are and how we've murdered our children. And it's very difficult for a woman to get past that feeling of how bad we were when we have mostly men, actually all men that I've heard, reminding us how bad we are. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Well, you can certainly feel her pain and, you know, the level of guilt and shame and all of that within her and asking this question. And I think it's really an important question for us. You know, there is the issue that's sin, and so we talk about it in terms of that, but we also have to talk about it in terms of God's grace and mercy and what he's done for us in Christ Jesus. The fact of the matter is that God has already condemned sin in sinful man. So that condemnation has already been made. Jesus bore the brunt of that. He took our condemnation. He took our sins. He became sin for us, which frees us as believers in Christ to carry the ministry of reconciliation, carry the message of reconciliation out in the world. And that message is a message of hope. It's a message of restoration. It's a message of forgiveness and life in Jesus Christ. It's a message that enables us to say to people like Dawn and to any person, any man, boy, woman, girl, anywhere on the planet, that God was in Christ reconciling you unto himself, and he is not counting your sins against you. And that's exactly what we read earlier today in that passage from David. Blessed is the man whom God does not take into account his sins. Well, that's true of every person because of the work of Christ. And so we need to take that message out there in the world. If we're going to help people like Dawn, that's how we're going to have to help them. Yeah. We cannot just add more and more guilt and shame to her situation, because the sin itself, she's going to carry that within her. And we need to give her the message of hope, the message of reconciliation that can liberate that heart from that shame and guilt, and free her to know her loving, her living God that has manifested himself in Christ Jesus. There's a lot of people in Dawn's position, and boy, we don't do them justice when we point a finger of judgment and condemnation at them, because certainly that's not what Christ is doing.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the scripture says, such were some of you, but you were washed, you were justified, you were sanctified. And Dawn needs to be treated like a person that is justified and sanctified and washed, because that is who she is. And, you know, I'm reminded of Romans chapter 2. It says, you therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge another, you're condemning yourself, because you pass judgment. You who pass judgment do the very same things. Now we say, wait a minute, I don't do the same things. Well, if we're going to get out our bony finger of law and point it in someone's direction, you know, Jesus has already expounded upon that law, and he said that if we get angry with someone, it's the same as murder, and if we look with lust, it's the same as adultery, and on we could go looking at the spirit of the law. So that's where we really have to be careful when we're, you know, as they often say, one finger pointed at someone, well, you've got three pointed right back at you. So, you know, that's the point of Romans chapter 2. We don't want to get in the business of finger pointing. Instead, we want to see ourselves and see other people as God sees us. And that's people that are in Christ. If we're in Christ, then we're washed, we're justified, we're sanctified. And that is, Dawn, that's who you are. And you can bank on that. Because even when you don't feel that way, when you feel the shame and the guilt, and when the enemy wants to talk about your track record and your past, that's not the truth about you. So when you and the God of the universe disagree, who's right? Who's right about you? So I encourage you to go ahead and take God's view of you. That really is reality, and that'll give you the confidence you need walking forward.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Let me add one more thing to this. You know, when we think about this issue, the issue of abortion, it's, you know, we're pro-life, we're for life. We look at all human life in sense of dignity, that it's sacred. And sometimes we miss that point when we point the finger of judgment at somebody who's had an abortion. We are not dignifying their life. We are treating them as second-class citizens, as something other than human beings. And I think we need our theology rooted in this ministry of reconciliation to help us see everyone as God sees them, the unborn and those who are here among us who have committed sins, such as abortion. So we need to treat all with human dignity. We need to recognize that all of life is sacred and that God has done something for us in Christ Jesus. We're on a brand new station in Atlanta. We've been there for a couple of months, and there is a wonderful care crisis center in Atlanta. I've actually spoken at one of their events in the past, and they have said, we want to be involved in this arena of life, but we want to be involved in it as ministers of reconciliation. And so women come to this clinic, and many of them are contemplating abortion. But as they began to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ, as they began to communicate this message of reconciliation, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not counting their sins against them, it starts to open up the eyes and the hearts of these women to see that there's another way, that God actually does care for them, and that they can learn to trust them in this particular situation. And they are doing just a phenomenal job in this arena of life, giving hope and life and forgiveness and mercy to people just like Dawn. And that's the power of the gospel, and we have to rely on it. We have to trust that it and it alone, that Jesus and Jesus alone can do in people what no one else or no law could ever do.
Yeah. Dawn, we're so glad that you called, and we hope you're listening and hope that's a help to you. If you have further questions, please don't hesitate to give us a call. Guys, question from Dennis. Why does God heal some people and not others? Take me, for instance. I believe that God did not heal me for his purpose. He is using the trial to conform me into Christ's image. Am I wrong about my assessment? Thank you for your ministry. That's from Dennis.
Well, guys, you know, of course we have to surrender the outcome of anything to God. Otherwise, we're going to live in a frustration. We hold an expectation over God's. You know, some theologies even say we need to bark orders at God, that we make demands of the Lord. And all of that is extremely, well, not only is it erroneous, unbiblical, it's disrespectful. In some cases, it's heretical. I mean, you know, we're not little gods running around barking orders at the God of the universe. So his ways are not our ways, and we have to submit to those. And you think of, you know, Dennis, you're not the only one. You know, Paul prayed three times for a thorn to be taken from him, and God explained his reasoning there, that God would use the weakness, and that in the midst of that weakness, Paul would be made strong by the power of Christ. We don't understand all that till we're in the middle of something that we can't seem to solve ourselves. And so we begin to rely on the power of Christ in a new way. Timothy had stomach ailments. He couldn't break free from those. So we don't understand why, you know, planet Earth comes at us. It's painful. It's confusing. It's difficult. But I believe God allows these things so that we can learn a deeper faith and a deeper trust in the life of Christ within us.
Well, thank you, Andrew. Thank you so much for those keen insights. Thank you, Richard, as well. Thank you for those who called and sent in questions. This is the last day for our wonderful resource, It Is Finished. We want to put that in your hands. And as we read the opening verse today, Romans 4:7, blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven. We want you to walk through this life knowing that you are blessed in Christ Jesus because of Christ's finished work on your behalf. So we want to put this resource into your hands. It's available for a gift of basic gospel this month. Don't miss out on this valuable resource, and don't miss out on helping to get this good news to as many people as possible.
Indeed, I agree, Bob. Thank you. Friends, donate online at basicgospel.net or by calling 844-322-2742. And as Bob said, with your gift before midnight tonight, you'll receive our 2-CD series, It Is Finished. Again, donate online at basicgospel.net or by calling 844-322-2742. And remember, that same number is available overnight and anytime. If you have a question or something you'd like us to discuss here at Basic Gospel, 844-322-2742. Well, thanks for being with us today, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, for Andrew Farley and all the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be here for the final installment of our study through Hebrews on Basic Gospel tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.